going on, everybody? This is the Her Business Podcast. I am one half your host, Josh, and I am joined today with my co-host, Ferris Sharari. Say what's up.
What it do, people? How you doing? What's up, Joshy?
What's going on? What's going on? So this weekend was a little bit weird. A lot of boring action going on inside the UFC and boxing, for that matter. Whatever fights I watched were pretty boring. Aspen Ladd was absolute sleeper of a fight, and quite literally. And Sander Martin versus Mikey Garcia was a good fight, but it was definitely not as active as it could have been, I think, in my opinion. But we'll get more into that. Yeah, is there anything you wanted to open up with?
Sure. I mean, I don't know if you took notice, but today is Detroit's favorite hitman's birthday, Mr. Tommy Hearns, one of the great welterweights from the 70s, 80s, was his birthday. So happy birthday to him. Yeah, you want to open up with a Corey Anderson's dub in Bellator?
Yeah, well, I didn't watch that. I didn't see that
at all. Fight. Yeah. Well, he is. I don't know if you know, but Bellator is doing like a Grand Prix tournament for a lot of the weight classes to determine like the rankings and the champion. So this was like the title eliminator. Now, next up, Ryan Anderson's going to fight for the Bellator 205 belt. And this is a guy who got cut from Dana White like last year, a little bit before. And now is on a 3-fight win streak, a tear, and is about to be maybe the lightweight champ of Bellator. So Dana's a white. We know he's a superb businessman. What do you think? Do you think this is one of those rare misjudgments by him?
Nah, definitely not. I mean, when you look at the competition level of Bellator, Bellator has always been, and it'll always truly be, a stepping stone for people to get into the UFC. And that's no shade towards Bellator, but the competition level is just, it's not really there. You know, Dana really does a good job of curating the fighters that he wants in his organization, from my understanding. It's extremely rigorous, extremely, extremely hard to get into the UFC. That rigorous effort really isn't put that much into Bellator. There's a lot of people that I know from Bellator that where I'm like, this guy's got shady amateur records, and they're getting Bellator contracts, and they're getting smashed by these other Bellator guys. So it kind of makes sense to me that Bellator is kind of like that stepping stone. As for Corey Anderson, yeah, he was definitely a good fighter, but he got exposed pretty bad in the UFC, and he just couldn't stop running his mouth, so that's why he got kicked. And, you know, props to him, definitely. Bellator's definitely a good spot to be in, but I don't know. I just think it's stepped down in competition. If he's on a tear over there, I don't know. I don't think he's really challenging himself. But it's like I said, it's nothing he can really do about it, right? He got kicked out of the UFC, but yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody's always looked at Bellator as the stepping stone, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me, and now he's, like, having this Twitter beef with the UFC light heavyweight champ, Jan Blachowicz, going back and forth about who's the best 205er on the planet. And Bellator's, I don't know if it's the promoter or the president, but one of the head guys came out and said that the winner of their Grand Prix is pound for pound the best 205er on the planet.
Yeah, and just not true.
Yeah, not true.
Just
at all.
Not true.
For all the reasons.
Everybody knows. Yeah, everybody knows UFC is, that's the final destination. UFC is the biggest platform in the world. It's got, everybody knows all the top fighters, they want to come here. Nobody really wants to go to Bellator. Like I said, it's a stepping stone. It's not a bad place to be. And just like your boy, what's the guy that just beat Pitbull like a few months ago? The Bellator champion. What was that guy's name? McGee?
AJ McKee.
AJ McKee. Mm-hmm. That guy's eventually going to go to the UFC, man.
Yeah.
He's just light years ahead of that competition. The way he beat the champion, and I don't even know those guys. Like, I didn't know him. I didn't know who Pitbull was. But just knowing that Pitbull was, like, the best, no doubt the best in Bellator at that time, and he gets beat up by that guy, then it's just showing you the level of competition that those guys need to be facing. And so I see eventually AJ will rack up some checks, maybe some more title defenses, and then we'll definitely be seeing that UFC contract, definitely. Yeah. But besides the point, nah. He's not the best 205er on the planet. It's still John Jones. At the moment, it is Jan Blachowicz, but that title is for John Jones until Jan puts that work in. So neither of them are the best.
You don't think it's
but Jan? The current best.
Yeah.
It's not Jan, but currently the best, we can say it's Jan because he is the champion. But I rest my case.
So, I don't know. You kind of contradicted. So you said Jan is or he isn't?
No, Jan is the current best. But I'm saying in reality, John Jones is the best 205er on the planet. He was the former best 205er on the planet. If that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, which he was the last belt holder, so definitely. And now it's Jan. I think John Jones is definitely like undisputed the best 205er we've ever seen at that weight class for sure. But Jan is
I wish right he would have fought Jan too.
Yeah, me too.
He would have beat Jan, I think.
Same.
Which is sad he didn't fight him.
Yeah, that pull.
But yeah, Jan. Yeah, Jan still got it though. He's the best currently. But when John Jones is in that weight class, nobody's touching him. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's an absolute fact. But we can move on from that. Congrats to Corey Anderson. What's up with Connor continuing to beat on these pedestrians, these normal folk?
I literally said this before we got on the podcast. I was like, please, let's not talk about
you
this.
Said, I thought you said, so, yeah, my fault.
So he brought it up anyway. It's cool. I mean, the Connor news is just dead to me at this point. Like, I really don't care about this man's life outside of the octagon anymore, or the ring. I'd like to see him box again, but I just don't care about any of this shit anymore, because it's just more drama that, like, nobody needs to be hearing anymore. It's kind of dead. I mean, you can share your thoughts on it, but, like, I don't want to be the party pooper here, but I just don't care anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
just want to see him fight, man. Yeah. Like, just seeing him in this negative light is just, I don't care. I just side-eye it and just be like, all right, well, that'll be another layoff. He'll be off of social media, and then he'll be back and then announce a fight. So I'm just waiting for that. But you can share your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, this storyline, I just feel like, comes out every few months. So it's whatever. Like, 2 weeks ago, he was fighting with MG Kelly, and now he's fighting with another DJ. I don't know if he has something against musicians, or he's just poking back everybody that pokes him. I don't know what.
He's Irish, man.
Yeah, he's just
There's no secret thing to it, man. He's just Irish. It's an Irish thing, man. And then he's just drunk, and, you know, it just doesn't mix. It happens, man. And he's got a temper too, man.
You're Irish.
He's got
a
serious temper.
You're Irish. Are you being on DJs and on your side of town?
Well, I can't attest to that, but I'm saying for him, it's Connor. Like, we just gotta accept it at this point. This is who he is. It's sad, but it's who he is, and move on. That's all it is.
Yeah, we can really end it on that note.
Yeah, I wish him the best, though.
Same.
Honestly, I wish him the best, but I hate talking to him, talking about him in this light, man. I want to be able to talk about Connor in a different connotation, you know? Not always about violence outside of the UFC. I want to talk about Connor inside the ring. I want to talk about him inside the octagon, you know? So, yeah, I rest my case on that. It's just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, nah, man, I agree. It completely is. So, where you want to go from here, boxing, or you want to tackle this Aspen lead situation?
Yeah, we can start with the UFC, I suppose.
Yeah.
So I saw that the Jim Miller fight was really good. Mm-hmm. It ended in round two. Jim Miller, absolute legend.
Yeah.
This was something that I slept on, honestly. I was like, damn, Jim Miller, I got to watch this, because Jim Miller is an absolute legend. and
Activity
yeah,
King.
And I was yeah, and I was completely surprised, man. I did not think this fight was gonna end this way. He got a nice shot on him at the end of the round in the first round. It was pretty back and forth. It was a nice back and forth in the first round. And then I don't know, this is like the second or third time this year I've seen a fight like this where somebody, I don't know what it is with the front kicks to the face, but it's becoming a nationwide trend in MMA. People are throwing the front kick to the face now. I don't know why, but he threw that front kick to the face and completely missed, and that chin was wide open, and Jim just put him to sleep. So if y'all haven't seen that, you should definitely check it out as you're listening to me talk about it. But yeah, that left hand was so perfect. And honestly, Jim could have went to sleep himself if he got hit by that kick, because that was right on the heel too. That could have hit him in the dome, and yeah, that would have been night-night. But yeah, this Eric guy, he went to sleep, yeah, man. That was a nice shot. Yeah. And completely crumbled. Brisbane's comments were just so funny. He was like, oh, man, he crumbled him. Left hand from hell. I was like, yo, I love him, bro.
Yeah, Brisbane got some legendary commentary.
Yeah, I love his commentary, man. When Joe is not there and all the other guys, I love Bisping, man. He's one of my favorites personally.
Yeah,
that was a nasty, nasty KO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then this Aspen lad, Norma Dumont, man, that was absolute sleeper. This fight was like, I don't really have much to say on this, so I'll kind of breeze through a little bit up the top. Yeah, this, I don't know, man. This was, like, extremely hard to watch. Like, Aspen, and not even in, like, a negative light, right? Like, this was hard to watch from, like, the perspective of, like, okay, someone like me, who I've really liked Aspen Lab, I've been following her for quite a long time now before the podcast. For about 2 years now, I've been following her career very, very closely. And she's a savage, man. She's really a savage, and I can see her going far. And she unfortunately suffered her first loss to the former champ, Jarandamy. And that was a tough fight, man. That was a really tough fight for her, you know, and she tore up her knees. Everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. So going into this 2 years later, it's hard because you kind of have to understand that she's got some ring rust, right? And you have to also put her in a light where it's like, okay, you've kind of done some of these things to yourself, like with the weight cuts. Like, you know, you've come back and some fights get canceled. You know, that's not on your end. But then some of them were on your end where you miss weight, you know, and more recently she's missed weight. So it's kind of hard to be on her side and then not be on her side. But I found myself still being like neutral in this fight, despite everything that was going on. And this is where it was extremely hard for me to watch, because, you know, you have Norma Dumont, who was scheduled to fight Holly Holm, but, you know, Holly Holm had to pull out, and that was expected to be an absolute war because Holly Holm loves bouncing around. You know, she's an aggressive fighter, and styles make fights. And that was a great stylistic fight for both those ladies. But then we got this instead, and it's not even like, when you watch it, it's not even like it was a chess match. Like, this was literally just one girl who didn't want to do anything and another girl who didn't do anything as well. But it's not her fault, right? Because it takes two to make a fight. So if you don't know, listeners, the one who didn't do anything was obviously Aspen Ladd, and the one who didn't do anything because she didn't need to was, of course, Norma. Yeah, wasn't even a chess match. I know I've seen a lot of comments roaming around, this is an absolute chess match for Aspen. No, it wasn't. It wasn't a chess match for her. Just stop trying to give her another excuse. She didn't show up for this fight. It wasn't a chess match. She literally froze up in there. And you could tell, because if you see her old fights, if you really watch her old fights, she's an absolute savage. She really gets in there. She really moves her hands. She really puts the pace on these ladies. And we didn't get any of that. And now, so getting into the controversial shit, Part of this, I think, was Aspen taking too much time trying to find her shots against Norma. Bless you.
Thank you.
And the other half was her corner, I think. So,
dude, her corner was so fucking funny.
It was funny. It honestly was. And that was kind of like what brought this fight to life for me personally. Because, man, this fight was just dead, man. This fight was so dead. And her corner was saying some of the craziest shit, but I'll get into a little bit of that. But it was two parts to this. It was really Aspen not showing up, right? And part of it was her corner. And so now I'm not a fighter. You're not a fighter. I'm not a coach. You're not a coach. So we kind of have to look at this a certain way, right? You can look at this at what the coach was saying, right? And think of it, well, yeah, this was really great advice. You're kind of cowering her into being more of a defensive fighter, I think, with those choice of words. It depends on how you look at it, right? But, you know, then one might think that what he was saying was the truth. And the reality is it was. Whether we like that or not, he was saying the truth. She was not doing anything in this fight. She was not trying hard enough to strike. And her grappling game plan was subpar from an actual wrestler grappler. It was a subpar performance. Norma got a takedown on her before Aspen could even get a takedown. That's kind of crazy when you think about it that way. But yeah, she was 0 for 5 on the takedowns. Literally nothing was going for her. But yeah, so like you kind of look at it in both those situations, it's kind of tough, right? It's like, I don't know the relationship they have together, like the coach with the fighter. I don't understand that relationship, but it's definitely a tough situation where you don't want your fighter to become more defenseless, but you also want to tell them what they want to hear. So I think personally that's kind of just knowing your fighter and what's going to benefit them more. You know, some fighters need to be yelled at or to get going.
Yeah.
And some need to be told more politely. You know, I'm kind of just going through my head. I'm just going off the top. Just thinking of ideas. Like, some fighters are just, they need to be yelled at. Some don't need to be yelled at to get going. And I just think this coach, what he was saying wasn't benefiting her clearly. And he obviously apologized for it, but I don't think he apologized because he genuinely felt like it was the thing to do. I think he apologized in a light where it was like, all right, he's kind of getting some flack on the internet for this, and people are saying he's a bad coach. You got Misha Tate calling him a cunt.
Holy shit.
Like, yeah, it's like he was getting some flack. It's kind of like a Deontay Wilder situation, yeah. Right, where he's got to say some shit because he looks bad on the internet right now. But I genuinely think deep down in his heart, he knows what he said wasn't wrong, 100%. And I think a lot of true mixed martial arts fighters, people that aren't us, would actually agree too that what he was saying in there was real, man. That's some real shit you want to hear. But you have to know your fighter. And I think Aspen Ladd has never been in that situation where she had to get yelled at like that. And you got to know your fighter. You have to know your fighter. You have to know, because you can say things the way he was saying. You can be more polite saying it, you know, and some people get going off of that. You know, a lot of people, when they get yelled, I mean, not me personally, when I get yelled at, I kind of cower and I'm like, and I just get anxious, you know, the anxiety kicks in when people yell at me and shit. So I can kind of relate to that. And you can tell she might have a little bit of that going on in the ring or the octagon. You know, a little bit of anxiety going on with the yelling, and you know, you don't expect that. I don't know if I've heard rumors too that this can be easily searched, but I've heard that that's also her boyfriend.
Interesting.
As well as her coach. I've been hearing that go around, but yeah, concluding this rant,
I just want to add on to, what you said, because you said a lot right there about the, I think that nobody knows their fighter more than the coach.
Exactly.
And so if the coach is yelling at the fighter, that just means that that's what the fighter needs in that moment. And we've seen, I'm pretty sure with, I don't know if it was this culture or another one, but with Aspen, like I remember one of her fights, her corner was literally yelling at her, telling her that she got to go out and get the finish. And then she literally went out in that same round and got the finish. So I feel like she's somebody that feeds off like that energy and she needs it. But bro, she was really not there to fight on Saturday night.
Yeah, and that's what I said by knowing your fighter, because she's definitely been in that situation before. Yeah. We've seen that 100%. So it's good you brought that up. But I don't think he knew her in that situation is what I meant. I don't think he needed to be yelling at her. I think he should have expressed himself a little bit differently where he could still get her going. Like, listen, honey, you got to go out there.
Yeah,
you got to put this girl out.
Be aggressive.
Not screaming in her face. Yeah. It's like it can work, definitely, but you can tell the anxiety was really getting to her and her performance was just subpar. So that also ties into it. But
yeah, she looked frozen out there. So that would make sense if she, like, the anxiety was eating her up and she was.
She was gone for 2 years.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I mean? She was gone for 2 years from injuries. So the anxiety is there, man. The anxiety is definitely there. And, you know, she's 26, man. She's still got a lot ahead of her. This isn't the end of the world. It's definitely a learning experience. And I'm glad we just got to see her in there again. But it was just absolutely just boring.
Yeah.
Just a boring fight. Because you have Norma, who doesn't need to do anything. Really. She can just sit on the outside. She was longer. She was the taller fighter. And that's all she needed to do. And then on top of that, the wrestling wasn't working, the grappling wasn't working, the striking wasn't working. She just wasn't throwing enough of her. She wasn't exerting enough. Just literally the volume was not there. And yeah, it's just unfortunate, you know. But that comes with it, right? Being away from so long.
That ring rust.
We'll be talking about more ring rust here when we go to the boxing side. But yeah, ring rust gets to you, man. 2 years of it, definitely, from injuries, too. I can't imagine that feeling, but
yeah,
I feel like 9 times out of 10, Aspen would win this fight because this is an opponent she needs to beat. This is not someone, nothing against Norma. She's definitely a great fighter, but this is somebody that Aspen Ladd has to beat, right? We're not talking about any other fighter, right? We're talking about Aspen Ladd. She's absolute savage. She has all the tools, man. She's got knockout power. She's got wrestling. She's got grappling. She can strike. And we saw a frozen fighter in there, man. We saw a ghost stuck in the past. And hopefully that gets set free, man, very soon. But yeah, boring fight.
Yeah, hopefully. Boring fight, man. But I think if there's a time for her to learn a lesson like this, I'm glad she learned it now. Like you said, she's only 26. I'm sure the better days are far, far ahead of her. She'll definitely be a champ one day, you know, post the Nunes era.
I see it. Yeah, I can see it, man. I mean, just look at her skill set, man. It's just, it's crazy. Her skill set is so deep, especially for that division. She's, you know, she only holding herself back. You know, it's literally only been her up until this point. I'm not going to count those injuries. That's definitely nature taking its course. But she's definitely been holding herself back with the weight cuts. It's tough, but something you got to do. And then, of course, freezing up in the octagon. That's on you. It's literally on you. Yeah. No matter what the coaches say, they're screaming in your face. It is on you to show up, and she didn't show up. So, end of discussion on that.
Yeah, see you.
Unless you have more to say about her.
Nah, man, I really don't. And the whole UFC card, honestly, was a sleeper. I mean, shout out Orlovsky getting the win. Shout out Jim Miller. It's flush KO, like you talked about. That was fun. It's on our TikTok if you want to go watch. But yeah, man, I'm ready to go on to this boxing situation.
Yeah, you can open this one up, man.
Yeah, so we had the four-division world champ, Mr. Mikey Garcia, taking on the Spaniard, the boxer that took the world over Saturday night that nobody had an idea of, Mr. Sander Martin. And before we get into the fight itself, I think we have to address the Devin Haney And Teofimo Lopez. Did you see that beef before? Did you see all the barking that was going on? I know you hate talking about this, but I found it entertaining.
No. I mean, it's just stupid because it's the same shit.
Yeah.
It's the same, like, four guys beefing. Like, it's so annoying. It's the same four guys that are like, it's just like, make a sex tape art or something. I feel like they just love each other, man. I feel like they're low-key obsessed with each other, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man. It's the reason why I don't get into, and I know a lot of people like the entertainment factor, and it's like, I'm definitely an entertainment guy. I've come up from WWE. I love the entertaining guys in the UFC. I love the entertainment factor, but it gets to a certain point where it's just child's play you're not even fighting each other. Like, they're literally not even scheduled to fight, and they're still beefing outside of, like, I don't understand. That's so stupid. But apparently Devin Haney's got a fight lined up with JoJo Duck Diaz. And Ryan Garcia's pinky broke, so he's going to be out until 2025. And then Loma's just patiently waiting to get his belts back from Teofimo. So,
and he's active.
He's active, more active than Teofimo. It's like Teofimo, I tweeted this out, it's like Teofimo's win over Lomachenko was the worst and the best thing that's happened in his career. Because that's the biggest fight of his life. That was the biggest fight of his life, hands down. And it's hurt. I don't know. He developed an ego. This man needs to go on a mushroom trip, man. Pop that 5Gs, put it in a little pot, take a trip, man. Kill that ego, bro.
Come back to Earth.
Come back to Earth, man. Go fight those demons, man. Because this is getting absurd, man. I've never seen this kind of behavior from this guy, bro.
Yeah.
Never. It's all happened after he beat Lomachenko, bro.
Yeah.
He's never acted like this.
And he was
he's a celebrity now. Yeah, I get it.
Literally, man. He was a super active fighter before that fight. Like, I'm talking like at least two fights a year for like 4 years straight.
That's what I'm saying. He beats Loma and now he thinks he's on top of the world. I don't know where this came from, but yeah, it is what it is, man. It really is.
It is what it is. I'm excited for Devin to fight JoJo. You said it, man.
I highly doubt it's going to happen, but we'll see.
Yeah, they've been all over Twitter. Eddie Hearns was in an interview with Devin Haney and somebody on the DAZN team, and they were talking about it. They said they sent him the same amount of money that he was going to get from Ryan Garcia, so...
Word.
There's literally no reason for him to say no other than him being scared of Mr. Devin Haney. And then it was kind of interesting because he said that, well, we definitely know that Teofimo is going to fight this year.
Oh, yeah. But here's my thing, though. What was the whole point of JoJo talking about? I can't even call another man JoJo. What was his deal talking about? You're my mandatory after he won his fight. I forget what card that was.
Yeah.
That was so stupid. Why would he say that?
Yeah.
Literally, why would he say that?
Because he wanted it, man. He wanted Devin, and the only way he would get it is if he lied
on national
television. He used those big words that opens people's ears, that mandatory word that everybody just seems so mesmerized
by.
That
word's gotta be banned.
It gotta be, man. It gotta be just deleted from boxing.
Is that even like an official thing in boxing? Like, has that been like ruled like an official thing? Because I've seen it happen on certain circumstances where it's actually made sense sometimes. Like Anthony Joshua and Andy Ruiz number two, that was a mandatory fight. That makes sense because Anthony Joshua was the champion for so long. He had all the belts. And then he just loses randomly in the biggest upset in like the past 20, 30 years of boxing. Biggest upset ever. And then, yeah, that's a mandatory fight. We have to see that one again. What does mandatory mean in a sense where like the fighter hasn't even gotten in the ring with the guy yet?
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean? What is the rule behind it?
Yeah. The only time
I mean, technically, Devin's my guy, but... The belt was handed to him.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
He's the internet champ, man.
The belt was handed to him, but he deserved 100%. But it was handed to him. He's defended it a couple times, so it was deserved. He's defended the belt. But this JoJo thing, man, this guy, oh, man, this just pisses me off. This is why I don't get into this internet culture, man. He needs to get shut up real fast.
I don't know, man. For me, from here on out, the only time I'm going to believe it when I see the word mandatory is whenever it's like, it's a sanction.
I only believe it when it's a big fight.
Yeah, or like whenever a sanction declares it. If the IBF comes out and says that Haney's Teofimo is mandatory, then that's the only way that I'll believe that fight will ever happen. I won't believe it if Devin hops on a mic and's like, you know, he's my mandatory because I want him. So he's my mandatory.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
The IBF is shady, man. Yeah. All those organizations, they're shady as fuck, bro. We don't got to get into that.
We don't, but they're all...
They're shady, yeah, man.
They're all money driven.
Shady. Yeah, they're... Yeah.
Yeah, it's a business, man, at the end of the day. Ooh. They profit on all these guys.
It's more than a business, man. This is like some laundering going on.
Uh-oh. Conspiracy Josh, is he in the building today?
I don't know, man.
Uh-oh.
So, these people are shady as hell, man. They're shady as hell with their belts, man.
Yeah,
there's some shit going on behind the scenes we don't know about.
Would you...
But we don't got
to get... Can you enlighten us?
Nah, I don't think we need to go into it. Because I might not wake up to
The IBF declares you a mandatory.
I turn on my light when I wake up tomorrow. Some guy's in the corner like, shh.
It's Paulie from fucking The Sopranos. All right.
Stop. Yeah, I'm tired of that shit.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the drama.
Same.
We just want to fight, man. We just want to see fights. I don't think anybody cares about this Devin Haney drama that he has with everybody.
I love it.
Or like the drama that Teofimo... I mean, you love
yeah,
it, of course.
I feed into the drama, bro.
It's your drama
queen. Yeah, I am. And it's kind of like... I don't know.
And you're a queen.
Yeah, emphasis on queen. it kind of reminds me of... Like
that was so unnecessary.
WWE growing up, like those storylines with these huge rivalries. That's why I love the drama when it comes to fighting. I also love the respect aspect and like the sportsmanship, but I also love the showmanship.
Yeah, for sure.
But let's talk about Mikey Garcia, man.
Yeah, you can talk about it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Open up.
I don't know, man. I was disappointed, and it was kind of a shock to see him. It seemed like he thought he won the fight after the fight ended. And I remember watching it, hearing the commentators, and they were all talking about the Sander guy won at least 8 rounds.
100%.
Which doesn't even make the fight close in that case. And then Mikey got his hands up walking back to his corner, like, yeah, we did it. And then he loses by fucking split decision. And who's the idiot that thought that was
unanimous.
A draw? Yeah, unanimous. But some idiot, so one of the refs thought it was a draw and scored it evenly.
Yeah, the first ref, right? That was stupid.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, nah, they're about to do this Sander guy dirty, yo. Boxing did it again is what was running through my head. But the right man won. Sander was
definitely
was faster. He was landing shots first. He was avoiding all the big strikes. Mikey usually uses his jab to get that 1-2 flowing, and that's usually when he breaks down his opponents. But Sander, like, he would get cornered and he would get right out of the corner.
He fought a weird fight.
Yeah.
He just fought the fight weird. I don't know, man. It might be the tacos or something. he might be eating too much. He might be eating too good, bro, on his break, man. Mikey, what happened, bro?
20 months outside of the ring. How many tacos you think he ate in the 20 month span?
A lot.
500?
A lot, man. I mean, he didn't even look fit in there.
Yeah.
He didn't look fit. He didn't look like his cardio was there. That was a whole different fighter, man. And I mean, that part of that, I guess, is like we underestimated the Sander Martin guy, right? I didn't know who this guy was. And I completely forgot how long Mikey was out of the ring for, too. But... Yeah, I don't know. What did you expect for this, man? Like, Mikey, I don't know. I felt like he should have been the faster fighter. Like you said, he wasn't the faster fighter. I definitely felt like he should have been more of the aggressor. And he's got a 75% like 75% of his fights are ending in a knockout, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're headhunting a guy you can't hit. So it's like, go to the fucking body. Like, switch it up. Do something. But the guy was headhunting it and missing so many shots. And, yeah, like, 95% of the time, he was making Mikey miss. That was pretty much what was going on. He'd draw him in and counter him. And he'd do this thing where he'd go on the back ropes, duck, and just clock him. That happened, like, five, nine, I believe the 10th round, too, at the end. Mikey would just be on the ropes, and that was the most action we've seen from him. And even those shots weren't even affecting Sander that much.
Yeah, it so seemed like Sander would, like, get in the corner and then evade it right away as soon as Mikey tried to pinch it.
Yeah, and then sometimes he'd entertain it, right? Like, he'd sit on the ropes and eat some body shots and stand and trade with him. So those were, like, the cool moments of the fight. I definitely liked that. But, yeah, this really was one-sided as fuck. Really one-sided. Yeah. I don't know what that first judge was thinking.
Yeah, who fucking knows what he was watching. But
not the fight we was watching.
Yeah.
You might have been watching Aspen Lattice. Had the phone up. Oh, shit. I missed the fight. Yeah. I draw.
let me just play the mediator here. Nah, man.
Yeah, that guy was, I don't know. Mikey, that was not the Mikey we knew.
Not at all.
Definitely.
And that was a full arena in, I believe, California, in Fresno.
Yeah. Massive Mexican population. Yo. And this is Sanders' first American fight,
right?
This is the first time he's ever in America.
Right?
He showed out, man. He came out there ready.
Did you realize how quiet the crowd was throughout that fight as well? Like, it felt like they were fighting in, like, a quarantined arena. Like, there was no crowd there.
In the Apex.
Yeah, like, they were at, in fucking Vegas.
Apex. Yeah, I mean, because they were like, what in the hell is this guy doing? Yeah,
Sander took the breath from that arena, bro. Shocked everybody.
And that Mexican attendance was insane. And it's always going to be crazy for Mikey Garcia. That's... You know, he's one of the faces for Mexican boxing right now, besides Canelo. So I don't know. I think it was just part of him. I want to say ring rust, but, like, I don't know. He just didn't have the flair. I feel like with boxing, it definitely matters. But, like, I don't know, man. Did he have the flair to you? He didn't seem like he was himself.
Yeah, he didn't seem like he was at any point of the fight trying to put it away or trying to put his foot on the gas or anything. He looked like he was just trying to win the rounds. And I don't know, man. He definitely wasn't himself. Like, the first round, I think, was his best round. And then he didn't have a good round again until, like, the 10th round or something like that.
I would say the first, the fifth, the ninth, and the 10th were very good rounds for him, and he still lost
those.
Besides the first, I say the first one, I'd give it to him for sure. It's like, even the rounds he did really well on, Sander did better. So that just shows you how much more prepared Sander came in. But I don't know. I feel like the stakes were high on both sides, right? This was his first fight in an American crowd, and then Mikey's been away for two years, pretty much. 20 months. So it's like, I don't know. It was weird, man. It was weird because it was a typical Mikey performance, but it didn't end in a knockout. So that was weird to see. And then on top of that, you know, he was so honed on those heavier knockout shots. I've never seen him be so consciously aware that he's not knocking this guy out. He's not even touching him, but yet he's still trying to go for those knockout shots. 5-6 rounds into the fight, the fight's about to be over, you're down on the scorecard, you're still trying to knock this guy out. So I don't know, I feel like that would be the right thing to do, right? But, like, the urgency just wasn't there. Like, 5-6 rounds in the fight, the urgency wasn't there for him, like you said. And he just looks slow, trying to search for his shots too long, you know, instead of letting his hands go. Like, let the hands go, man. Like, that's what you're best at doing. And then, you know, eventually you'll get that knockout shot, man. He's got a 75% ratio. You know, 30 of his fights ended in a knockout. So
Yeah. Something
30 of that 40.
Something to note from Mikey moving forward is that he hasn't knocked anybody else since 2017, man.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little bit alarming, but all his victories in the past 4 years have come by outboxing his opponent and just looking like the better guy out there. Minus the Errol Spence fight and then the fight this past Saturday. He's looked like the better fighter. But I think he really struggled a few days ago to like prove that to us. Neither one of them were landing big shots, right? It wasn't like Sander was beating the shit out of Mikey. That wasn't the fight at all. It was just he was getting outboxed every single round.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, and especially at his age, right? Like, you have to stay active because it's like, he's still making money, bro. Like, he still has money. And it's like, I feel like you got to find it in yourself to continue to, like, train and be active and, you know, stay and keep the rust off. I don't know. Maybe it's gotten to him. Like, he's not fighting like how he was when he didn't have money, you know. And so, I don't know. Sadly, he hasn't been doing any of that. So, I don't know where he goes from here. It seems like it's been downhill. A downhill struggle from Errol Spence is what this seems like it's going. I don't know. I feel like looking at Sander, he was definitely a great fighter. He definitely had a lot of counterpunching capability. He had a lot of speed, great chin, good heart. But I don't know. I just feel like that's a guy Mikey should beat, right?
Yeah, for sure.
He's a great fighter, but that's a guy Mikey should beat, man. Like, he stepped in there with Spence, man. That's like, after you step in there with Spence, it's like, that's got to change you, right? That has to change you mentally, for the good or for the better. But it doesn't seem like it's been for the better for him.
It could be like the pressure thing, too, when you think about it. Because Sander is a guy who, coming into this fight, honestly had nothing to lose. Like, at the end of the day, he was still fighting on this, on a main event, on this huge DAZN card. The American fans were definitely going to take notice of who he is. He honestly had nothing to lose. This was Mikey's. This was like what we thought to be a layup for Mikey.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it was a win-win for Mr. Sander, a lose-lose-lose for Mr. Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next?
Props to Martin, man.
Props to Martin.
He did his thing, man. His defense was on point. The counter-punching, the head movement, everything was just sharp. Yeah. He looked like the better man in there. So definitely congrats to him. For Garcia, I don't know, man. I don't know where he goes from here. Just the fact that, like you said, he genuinely looked like he thought he won the fight. That's kind of concerning as a fighter to think that you actually won that fight. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think he lost his passion. I'm just going to say that.
That's tough.
I think he lost it.
That's tough. I hope that's not the case, man.
But then Martin's a southpaw, bro. So it's like southpaws are tricky anyway, you know? And then we can even say, I'm just giving this guy excuses. I mean, we can even say that he's went up in weight class, right? Not a lot of people have that success. It's a hard thing, right?
Yeah.
So... is what it is.
Yeah, man, it is what it is.
Seems like he waited around for that check and he got it. So,
yeah, he
congrats to you, Mikey.
He definitely got paid. I hope it was worth it, Mikey. I'm just kidding. I mean, no disrespect, of course. You know, I think he's a great fighter. He's been doing it for so many years. I think he'll be back for sure. They talked about a rematch after the fight. Do you want to see a rematch?
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I really don't either. Unless
just get Pro Gray in there and then. Pro Gray versus Mikey, and then
it's like
Pro Gray put him out. Gray will put him out for good. Give him his last paycheck. He'll set him on his way.
Yeah, I don't think now the fight would not benefit Regis as much. Because Mikey's a four division world champ, but now he's coming off this loss against a guy who the world really didn't know about, other than the few Spaniards that watched his fights.
Yeah.
So it's safe to say
Errol Spence retired him already, and now he's just fighting for money.
Which I hope we're just absolutely being far too dramatic. I hope we're just taking it to the furthest extreme possible. I hope Mikey's listening to this and is like, look at these fucking kids. I take one loss and they forget about what I do.
I mean, and he can go back to being like a boxing analyst or something.
So you're saying
it sounds like a good plan.
It's clips for Mikey.
Bro, how do you look at that performance? That is a guy you should beat, man. I don't care, man. That is somebody you beat. As good as that guy was. What's another example of this? Goddamn. And I hate that we talk to these people in this kind of light, but it's just true, man. It's like these guys are just so much better when they show up. Who am I thinking of, man? It's one of the twins. Twin Charlo or whatever. You remember he fought the guy? Big upset.
Tony Harrison. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
No, man. I'm talking about... Hold on, man.
It was pretty sure against the Detroit guy.
He ain't a Charlo fan, man.
You're going to pull it up and he'll be like, oh, you were right.
Nah. Was it Jermell? Hold on. You're going to be like, oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. Hold on. There we go. Castano. Remember that fight?
Oh, yeah. That was a split decision.
That was a split. And that's a fight where we were kind of like, how in the hell did Jermell let this slip, man?
A split draw, sorry.
That's sort of a similar situation where it's like Castano's a great fighter. You know, Sander's a great fighter, man. But it's like, I don't know. I just feel like these guys on their best day would just wipe the floor with these two. Mm. You know, Mikey would wipe that guy. Jermell would wipe Castano if he was really, really in it that day. I don't know.
Would Aspen Ladd wipe Norma if she was in it?
I said that already. I said 9 times out of 10.
Exactly. So that's another one to feed into your
exactly
argument.
My theory. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah. Boxing analyst, it's not a bad career.
It's not. I wish they would call me up to sit in one of those chairs.
Oh yeah. I mean, look at Daniel Cormier. He finally realized he's not going to beat Stipe. So I might as well step out of here, man.
Yeah, so. Might as well call it quits. I seen an article this week that said Daniel Cormier is the next Dana White.
All right, guys, and that'll be the end of this episode. My name is... Where in the hell did you hear
that's
that?
That's what I seen. I don't know if it was... I'm pretty sure I seen it on Twitter. I don't think it was an article or anything. Jeez. Yeah, somebody tweeted it, and I was like, wow, imagine if Daniel Cormier is the president, and he's going to sign him versus John Jones like the following week, round 27.
He's like, you're going to get cut, or you got to fight me.
Yeah. You got an ultimatum now. You remember all those drug charges and all those assault charges you have on your record, pal?
I'll bring those back up, man. Yeah, man.
You better get in that fucking octagon, me and Herb Dean.
I can't wait till they call me up for Herb. I'm signed. I'll fly over same day, do the weight cut.
Yeah, submission only.
I'll meet him at any catch weight too.
Herb looked like a big guy, man.
I'll let him feel the wrath, man. For all those years, he's put those fighters through damage, man. All that brain damage he's given these fighters.
I'm getting
almost wanting them to die in there.
Give him a taste of his own medicine.
I'll give him a taste of his own medicine. I'll give him a taste. I'll ref the fight. They got to let me ref the fight and fight him. And I'll decide when the fight needs to end. How about that?
I'm a fan, man. I'll buy that pay-per-view all day.
Yeah, that's just not true.
I buy the pay-per-view every week, man.
Herb will fucking choke me on the...
Yeah, Herb probably a black belt, low-key.
Let me stop playing.
Yeah, imagine it like Bruce Buffer, a black belt. just fucking arm-barring people on the weekdays. Screaming it to a microphone in the weeknights.
Yeah, I can see that, man.
Yeah.
Oh, he low-key does train. I seen videos of him actually fighting.
That's crazy.
Not like fighting, but I seen him train.
Like hit mitts and shit?
Yeah, bro. I got to pull up some video. I think I seen him. Oh, let me see this real quick.
Doing this live.
This is gym noises of Bruce Buffer training. Bro, he's pushing weight.
What the fuck? How old is Bruce? Bruce has got to be pushing like 80, bro.
You forced it. You forced it. He's a cool 64.
64?
64, wow. Man.
That man is pushing weight, bro. He's fucking deep.
How old do you think his brother is? Mike Buffer.
Like a cool 90.
Yeah, his brother might be a cool 85.
Like a cool 90.
76. Damn.
70. Okay, we're close.
Yeah.
Close
enough. His brother literally was like introducing fucking Muhammad Ali and shit.
Yeah, that's a OG right
there. Yeah, yo.
Damn. Yeah. I don't know.
Shout out the Buffers. I wonder if their parents
they're taking over two sports.
Yeah, man. I wonder if their parents had like iconic voices.
Probably.
Had to, right?
You don't think they were born with those voices, though?
I
think they had to train.
Well, I mean, a little bit. They probably just had to intensify it, but it was definitely...
Give us your Bruce Buffer impersonation. Let's hear it.
Put me on the spot. I got you.
Hey, you did it to me last week.
I'm trying to think of what he be saying.
Do like a...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to UFC 787, the first matchup of the evening. We got UFC legend, the Fighting Irish, Conor McGregor. Nah, man,
that is not
horrible. I don't got that type of voice, man.
Well, you might need to sign up for that gig, man.
Yeah, sorry to the listeners if I blew up your speakers or your headphones. My apologies. I had to pull out my inner Bruce.
Everybody needs new mics. You're coming out of pocket.
My fault, gang.
Damn, that was good, man. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
I appreciate it.
Man, I was looking at this. I was looking at these highlights of Bruce Buffer, and this guy's YouTube name is Dick Nieves.
Is he
we can end it there.
Nate's little brother?
That Dick Nieves is like he's the heavyweight champion in another timeline.
Oh, interesting.
Dick Nieves.
Dick Nieves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
heavyweight champ.
Guess that's a good place to end off, huh?
Yeah, before I get it a little creepy with this.
Before we take a 45 minute.
Because I'm looking at some of these videos and I can, we can end it there.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're looking
at. Keeping it that way.
So look, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you guys for listening. My name's Farris Sharari. This is the Hurt Business Podcast. Please subscribe on our platforms at the Hurt Business Podcast on Instagram, @_. On YouTube, dropping this week, Gabe and I, we recorded a Sopranos talk because he just finished it. So we chatted about Sopranos, the ending, his thoughts. That'll be on our YouTube channel in a few days. We got some big fights coming next week. Costa versus Vittori in the UFC. And then we got Jermell Herring versus Shakur Stevenson, a huge boxing fight that I'm excited for. So look out for the episode later on in the week to give you our breakdown and our predictions for those fights. Anything you want to add, Joshy?
All right, said it all, man.
Beautiful. Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, and until next time.